Hello, good morning, and welcome to The Garden Show. My name's Kitty LaBounty.
I'm Molly Kabler, and we are here live in the studio, happy to do The Garden Show and talk to you about primarily greenhouses and other opportunities to grow undercover.
Indeedy. So we kind of made these big lists of advantages and disadvantages and considerations and realized that in the end, we could talk about greenhouses for several hours and have a few weekend workshops and still not really cover all the information there is and all the things you want to think about with a greenhouse. So first I thought advantages is kind of fun. Well, the biggest advantage for me is that I can grow heat-loving crops in the summer. That's for me is the biggest thing. I can grow tomatoes, I can grow some peppers, I can grow occasionally cucumbers and things like that that I'm just not going to really be able to grow here.
Basil is a big one. A lot of people like to grow basil, and it's pretty easy to grow a nice crop and harvest it. Make yourself some pesto, throw it in the freezer, and you're ready to enjoy that garden taste for quite a while.
So any kind of heat-loving crop, these are like super advantageous. They're also good for creatures, for plants especially that are super susceptible to slugs and other pests and also don't like coolish weather. So you've got that, you protect them from some of the marauding invertebrates. Now, on the other hand, you're actually creating a really nice environment with that's enclosed for some insect problems. So maybe that goes into a disadvantage. There's a little bit of balance there in how you manage for inverts. You're protecting from slugs and maybe creating a nice environment for aphids.
One of the other advantages is that you can get a much earlier start even on plants that you might grow out in your garden, but you could get a first round of broccoli in your greenhouse, for example, in your covered space, and then you might have it out in your bed so that your second crop comes with a little different timing. So that's another thing. I know I usually keep my squash in the greenhouse. I find that there are some real disadvantages, and we're going to talk about that, but it is also just a place that's very fun. It's just another environment and another opportunity. On a rainy day, you can go in there and put your hands in the dirt and tend to your plants, so that's awfully fun. And also, just that environment, that moist, warm environment on a day that's chilly and windy, it's awfully fun to do that, too.
It really is nice. I like to also put my seedlings out in the greenhouse. I'll start them inside because I don't have a heated greenhouse. It's basically like a glorified cold frame with some thermal mass, so it holds heat pretty well. But I'll put my seedlings out there before they go out into the garden, and that frees up space. It used to be my house was like covered with seedlings, and it got a little crazy. So it's nice to actually be able to keep them outside.
There are some disadvantages, however, and we want to talk about a few basic ones, and then we want to talk about a couple decisions if you don't have a greenhouse yet and you're thinking about it, what you might want to do. In short, if you are going to start afresh, you might want to do some significant reading, and we'll talk about a couple of those resources for Alaska in particular, but some of the disadvantages.
Well, for me, one of the biggest disadvantages is that you need to be around to take care of your plants in the greenhouse. I'm used to like planting my vegetable garden, planting my flower garden, and I can be gone for a couple weeks. You know, I used to go fishing, and I've done a lot of field work, so an outdoor vegetable garden that's in the ground is like ideal for that. I mean, you can go away, you're like, well, hopefully it will rain, you know, you take everything care of it, and hoping that it will rain seems a little crazy because we know it will, but the plants in your greenhouse, the rain is not going to get to them. So you can set up some sort of system for them, put them in a bigger volume, or grovel to your neighbors to come and take care of your plants.
But on a nice sunny day, that is going to be a daily thing. And so it is a burden or a responsibility, whichever way you want to deal with it in terms of having, plants under glass or under cover.
Yeah. So there's a couple of different ways to get around some of that. Some ways to control the heat in your greenhouse if you're going to be gone. But to me, that's a big disadvantage. The other one is that you have created this environment that's very protected for insect pests. So typically, you know, outside in your garden, there's enough insects around that you might have some problems with aphids or whatever, but sooner or later, the other insects are going to kind of balance that out for the most part. In your greenhouse, that's typically not the case. So you do have to be, I think, more active in chasing down things like aphids.
And the other nice thing for the aphids is that you've kept that protected environment for them all winter long. And so they don't freeze out, they don't blow away, they don't get washed away in your greenhouse. So you really have to be on pest control, particularly for aphids. The other problem with greenhouses is if you don't have adequate ventilation and you keep that environment very humid, you're really going to have an opportunity for botrytis, mold, damping off. That can be a real problem if you don't have adequate ventilation. Now, small air leaky structures, you tend to have enough ventilation just with the breeze blowing by. And then if you have either passive automatic ventilators or something that you can prop, doors, windows, whatever, you can usually control for that pretty well. But it can be a problem if you are too enclosed.
But yeah, the biggest thing I've seen with problems with people's small greenhouses or little homemade greenhouses, which is exactly what I have, is a little homemade greenhouse, is not making plans for ventilation. Adding some sort of heat, I think, is optional for people, but adding ventilation of some sort is like absolute. You really have to do that. There's a couple, I solved mine a couple of ways. One was that the decking that the greenhouse is on is actually like a decking. So there's spaces in between those boards. They're not big. And then the under porch, the under, what would I call that? The underbuilding, because it is on a deck, has some spaces in it as well. So there's air moving up that way. So that's an easy solution. And I also have this cool, wonderful automatic window that opens. It's a heat activated. So it doesn't need power, doesn't need anything like that, but it opens the window. So there are a couple easy ways to deal with ventilation.
So I think the other disadvantage for me is getting it watered enough. I mean, even when I'm there, I struggle to get my greenhouse watered enough. And what I've learned is that my plants will just sit there and look great, but they don't grow. And I'll water them and they don't grow, and I'll water them. And I finally, you know, of course, you know why I didn't figure this out earlier, I'm not exactly sure. But what I figured out is I really was not watering enough. They looked fine. They looked healthy, but they, you know, they never were wilted. They never whatever, but they were never enough water to really get going. So it can take a surprising amount of water, particularly if you have things in a bed in the ground. So that's what I have. I have a ground bed. And over the winter, that thing dries out bone dry. And the other consequence of that is you don't have that rich microorganism environment in the soil in your greenhouse that you do in your garden, because it's so dry over the winter time, unless you get in there and water it, which I don't. And then the early season of heat really burns up anything organic that you have in there as well. So it can be a challenge to have really healthy soil and really enough water if you have ground-based beds in a greenhouse and you're not on it.
Yeah, so I went with the pot culture because I couldn't quite decide how I wanted to lay mine out. So I switch mine out every year, and that seems to help quite a bit with keeping the soil both active and I keep from like accumulating those sorts of pests.
Hello, you're on the garden show. Nope.
I do have a couple of notes from other people who have greenhouses that I want to make sure I save time for. So things to think about. One, I think we talked a little bit about some advantages and some issues and maybe a couple little ways to deal with them. The biggest thing to think about with a greenhouse, whether or not you want one or not, or how big a one you want, is what do you want to grow? So what do you want to grow and what kind of time do you have to put into it? I think those are probably the biggest things. And if you can find, if you're a person that wanders around a bit in the summer, do you have a fine friend who can help you with watering, or find friends, I should say. So for me, like I said, my biggest things were I wanted to be able to grow tomatoes. I love fresh tomatoes. Everything else I put outside, even my squash, my zucchini squash, is just under like a small cover most years, sometimes remade. I got a little bit of a fancier little mini plastic house this time for it this year. But at any rate, so think about what you want to grow and how much time you want to put into it. And then there's the other things to consider is do you want to have something you can attach to your house, which makes a nice kind of sunroom and growing environment, or do you have space and the right light for freestanding? So you want to have at least 6 hours, I think, you want to have at least 6 hours of light.
When you look at the technical data around greenhouses and the optimal conditions for growing vegetable crops, it's 14 to 16 hours a day. So if you were serious and you wanted to do culture and harvest something, you would have heating, additional lighting, and that lighting would make 14 to 16 hours a day for your optimum. So that's not something most of us are really interested in doing in a home garden setting. But it is kind of an indication that you need to think clearly about what your expectations are and how much energy you want to put into this for what you expect to get back.
Yeah, so mine's pretty passive. I mean, basically I use bigger containers so that they can hold a certain amount of water. And I don't heat it. I don't add extra light, but it's in a very well-lit spot. I mean, it's all southeast. It gets all sorts of different light from different directions, so I'm not too worried about that. But I went with passive, but I'm also not trying to, I'm not trying to do anything too serious other than eat tomatoes. So I'm not trying to make money off of my greenhouse.
Right. I'm not sure in the Alaskan environment that you're really going to be ahead if you added up the dollars and cents for a heated and lit greenhouse in terms of what you could produce. You might be ahead in terms of the quality and taste of the product you have and the fun and enjoyment of growing your own food. So I'm not saying you shouldn't do it.
Well, no, yes indeed. And I actually talked to a couple of people or texted with a couple of people who have greenhouses in town just to get kind of their hints and just different things to think about. And Keith Nitre suggested making sure you incorporate thermal mass and have good ventilation, which both Molly and I have been talking about. And really taking advantage of different levels for growing things. And thinking carefully about how you lay out your whole interior space and storage. And then I love this from Florence. Grow what you love of the heat-loving plants. I mean, basically, that's the biggest thing is, like, what will this give you, and make sure you achieve your heartfelt goal in what you want to grow.
So if you're interested in currently there is some applications available to fund high tunnels, which are a type of greenhouse structure, not exactly the same, not a hard frame. And there's currently funding available through USDA in a program called Environmental Quality Incentive Program. If you want more information about it, check out SitkaLocalFoodsNetwork.org. They've got some information there. You can look into that and see if you're interested in doing a high tunnel.
Yeah, and there are boatloads of different greenhouse products out there to look for in terms of kits. And you can also just build your own out of whatever scraps you have around. So enjoy your indoor gardening space.
And thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week on The Garden Show. I'm Molly Cavler.
And I'm Kitty Levanti.
Thank you.